Well, according to the Church's lectionary, today is the first Sunday after Trinity. According to the confectionery and greeting card manufacturers, it is Father's Day. But that's okay. I think we can hold the two together. And our scripture readings may help us do just that. It is right that we should remember fathers and pray for them in their very important God-given role. Those of you who are fathers will know it is not always an easy task, and sometimes the relationship between father and child can be strained. And we remember today all those for whom this will be a difficult day, for whatever reason. But we also celebrate with joy all those happy relationships between fathers and children, and we recall that in them, earthly fathers are being called to mirror nothing less than the relationship between God, our loving Heavenly Father, and his children. One aspect of this heavenly fatherliness is the combination of authority and power on the one hand, and humility and patience on the other. Children need their fathers to set them an example of love. And love will sometimes express itself in patience and forbearance, and sometimes in necessary discipline and correction. Both these are in evidence in Isaiah chapter 65, where God says he has tried to reveal himself and his ways in great humility to those who didn't ask for him, were not seeking him, and to a nation that did not call on his name. He has said, "Here am I, here am I," and held out his hands all day long to an obstinate people who do not walk in his ways. He has been very patient with his people Israel, but he warns them that if they will not turn from their ways of pagan idolatry and blasphemous insolence, they must be punished. Yet even then, God promises, he will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess his land. We should be grateful that we have such a loving, patient God as our Heavenly Father, and not seek to presume upon his forgiveness or take it for granted, as perhaps some of us as children were inclined to test our earthly father's patience. Another sometimes unenviable role for fathers and mothers is that of peacemaker in families. Again, it often involves humility, remaining reasonable and calm when the anger of others flares up. We see God the Father setting the example in the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal demanded his share of the inheritance, effectively wishing his father were dead, and then went off to spend it in wild living. But the father never forgets him, never stops loving him, and is always on the lookout for his return, casting his dignity to the winds and running to greet him as soon as he's sighted. The rebellion is over, and the father, full of greeting and forgiveness, gives a feast to welcome the boy home, only to be met by a second rebellion. The older son, full of anger and complaining at unfair treatment, refuses to go into the feast. The story ends with the father pointing out that he has shared all he has with him and begs the son to join in his father's happiness and come into the feast. For his brother who was lost is now found, was dead and is now alive. Beyond noting that inheritances are still known to cause ructions in families from time to time, we are drawn to the example of the Father. The Father in the story, of course, represents God. And when we consider that the family of which he is Father is the entire human race, and that he expends such love and concern upon every member of it, then it is quite an example to follow. If we are honest with ourselves, well, if I'm honest with myself, the example we often follow is that of the sons. Which one? Probably both of them at different times, in my case at least. Let us then resolve to be a little less prodigal and selfish, but also a little less calculating and judgmental. Or do we want the Father, who has already shared everything with us, to have to go down on his knees and beg us to be reconciled? Fortunately, this Father has another son, one who is exactly like him in every way, so that he and the Son are one. A Son so humble and obedient that he gave up the glories of heaven, took on human form, and even died the death of a criminal on a cross, so that God might bring eternal peace to his relationship with humanity and all creation. Always, God is working for peace and reconciliation, for unity between nations, tribes, and families. And especially, he desires that peace and unity in his family, the church, his new Israel. St. Paul tells us through faith in Christ, through our baptism into his death and resurrection, we are all made one family, for there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Let us then desire, pray and work for that unity in the church, so that we can be God's witness to the world as he wishes. In this morning's gospel reading, we see the loving, obedient son going about his father's business. And like the father, we see him exercising both great power and authority and great humility. As for power, in St. Luke chapter 8, between verses 22 and 56, we see Jesus exercise authority over wind and waves, demons, illness and death. As for humility, having healed the demon-possessed man, the local people tell him to leave, and he just quietly does so. Part of the peacemaking, reconciling work of God, is the bringing of order and calm out of chaos. Immediately before today's gospel reading, Jesus has ordered a storm on Lake Galilee to be still, and the wind and waves obey him. It is surely a reference to the Spirit of God hovering over the waters at creation, bringing order out of that chaos, and a sign that God's power rests in Jesus. When faced with a demon-possessed man, the necessary healing or peacemaking of God was not between God and human, or between humans, but the chaos was within the man himself, and that is what Jesus dealt with. The man's life was one of complete confusion and disorientation, as the demons drove him all over the place. When Jesus drives out the demons, the man is restored to peace, to unity of body, mind, and spirit. The disciples had been alarmed at the storm, but seemed almost more frightened by the calm after Jesus exercised his power over the elements. Similarly, the local people in our story this morning had been alarmed by the strength and violence of the demon-possessed man, but are overcome with fear at the sight of him sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they ask Jesus to leave. Our world today often seems to be frightened of calm, quiet, peace, seeming to prefer relentless noise and activity. The pressures of technology, permanent access to social media, 24-hour news, etc., make it very hard to stop and think, to reflect on things. As Christians, we need to resist this, to make time for God every day, to hear Jesus' still small voice of calm. But then we also need to be ready for that voice to challenge us, to allow him to deal with any chaos in our lives, to let him subdue anything that is not holy, anything that is not true, and loosen our fingers' grip on anything that is not life-giving, anything that may be taking the place in our hearts that is rightfully his. Our loving Heavenly Father wants us to have the peace that comes from true unity of body, mind, and spirit. But we are unlikely to achieve that if there are bits of ourselves that we are refusing to submit to him. Will we submit to Christ's gentle, insistent probing? Or will we ask him to leave? Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and then let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Amen.